Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Reading the third stanza from the song entitled, A Child of the King. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Think not only of being children of the King, but as Christ preached in the Sermon on the Mount, mentioning Jerusalem, the city of the great King. Pray for that city today as things are taking place there. Pray that it'll be a right way for the glory of God, for the good of both the people in that nation and those surrounding it. Reading today from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray that we'll be able to do that. Pray that everyone in our audience will have what Paul described here to the Colossians, being able to put on the new man and also be willing to put off the old man. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, that we can all together throughout the world, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, all those described here, Greek and Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, have one salvation in one person, Christ Jesus, thy Son. And we pray, Father, in his name, that we now may be taught by the Holy Spirit, that we may be in all of the church, led into all of the truth, to make the church one in the truth, one, Father, for thy glory, one for the good of all mankind. As Lord Jesus, you pray that they might be one, that the world will know that the Father has sent thee, that they might be one, even as thou and the Father are one, one in perfection. We know that that will fully take place in heaven, but we believe, Lord Jesus, your prayer was for now, that the world will know now that, Father, you have sent Christ into this world, thy Son, to become a man, to take on him the form of a man, and then go to the death of the cross for all the world, all sinners in different places throughout the world. Thy command, Lord Jesus, to preach the gospel to every creature, and with the promise that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and also with a warning, he believeth not shall be damned. We pray that each one of us may take heed to those words, that we may tremble at the word, and that we may be able to do now in preaching the word, as Paul could write to another church, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is thee, Father, that works in us both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Make us to know that all good things come from, Father, your throne on high, that all good things are because of Christ alone. And we give thanks in his name for all that has been given, this word, the gospel, all the work of the Spirit that has been given throughout history up to this point. And now that we can ask in Christ's name for the work of the Spirit to be given again, to awaken us, to revive us, to give us another time of reformation, another time of great awakening, even greater than was given in our nation some 100 years ago. We pray, Father, for that blessing. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have in nature when others are suffering from fire, flood, wind, earthquake, war, all the calamities in the world. We pray, Father, for them and for thy mercy on them in the midst of all these judgments. We pray that they also may recognize that all of these things are in thy hand, that they are not from man alone. Though we can sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap corruption, we know that in the end all is of thee, and particularly any and all blessings. We pray for blessings on those that are in sickness and injury, We pray, Father, for the broken homes, for the children in those broken homes. We pray for the schools that they will teach again the truth, and we won't have teachers and professors that are at enmity against Thee and against the blessings that Thou hast given us in the past, overthrowing them. We pray, Father, for our place, that they might have all that is needed. We give thanks for them and pray for them. We pray that we might see that they are our helpers for all the wicked as well as the righteous. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are, the soldiers on the battlefield. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look again at this letter, this epistle, we see many things in there, many things in the whole epistle, their beginning, their need of what they were and sinning and the awfulness of it. But now, as Paul stated in the third verse, "For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then in the fifth verse, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth," and listing them the different sins. Then in verse 8, "But now ye have also put off these," and again, a number of sins. And then we have in verse 9, where we began to read, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." That is true in conversion. We have to come to the place where we die. Paul said of his conversion in Romans 7, referring back to it, "And I died." He died to all hope in self. He died to the ways that were sin to him, covetousness. He said, "I had not known sin except the law, and said, Thou shalt not covet." He died to that. But he also said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And he said, "The flesh driveth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." So it is not only a conversion that gives a great change, seeing you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, and in the second chapter, having forgiven you all your trespasses, all these great blessings, they must come. That is salvation. That is conversion. That is being saved. Yes, being saved. Another term, being born again. Someone this week in a restaurant kind of identified me as a Dutch person affiliated with a certain denomination, he thought, as he kind of kiddingly said it. And I told him I had been part of that, but was changed to something that was different. And in the conversation, he said, "Oh, that's an oxymoron." I said, "Well, that's what we all are at birth. We all are in that way, the old man, and we need to be born again." And then his statement was, "That's Baptist. I've heard that before." And I said, "It's too bad. Is that just for one group of people? Or is it for everyone?" It was for the Pharisees, Nicodemus. And though it's strange to say that's for the Baptist, we do have to realize that it was a person that was baptized by John. It was a person that taught baptism, as is given very plainly. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And that person, we could call him a Baptist. We have John the Baptist. Christ was a Baptist. Paul was a Baptist. Peter was a Baptist. And it's the teaching of Scripture. So when we put off the old man, that is for every denomination. We read here, "Further, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all." In my prayer I mentioned Christ's prayer, that they might be one, as he and the Father are one, for the purpose that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. That was his prayer to the Father. It was a perfect prayer. And it will be answered. He wouldn't have prayed it if it won't be answered. I've sometimes said, how can it be fulfilled when we have all our sad divisions? After we commemorated the Reformation Day 500 years ago this fall, someone said, well, that wasn't an answer. The divisions were terrible. The enmity was terrible amongst the leaders. It was a sad thing as well as a good thing. And we need to recognize, and we need to say like Daniel did, we and our fathers have sinned. The settlement here in our area soon ended a division. And we've had it throughout the country. So when we see here, we have put off the old man. My old man isn't any better than your old man. We're together in that. And there's only one name by which we can be saved. Not two, not ten, not the leaders of any denomination. People are called by their leaders. I won't mention them. You probably know them as well as I do. Two or three of the leaders of the Reformation, the leaders of awakenings later, they carry the name of men. And there is but the Church of God, the Church of Christ. They are one. He prayed that we will be one as he and the Father are one. And until we're one, we have too much of the old man. The old man is a liar. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. These are things that need to be done. I repeat, these are things that need to be done. I'd be foolish to stand here before this microphone if I didn't tell you what needs to be done. And you are an unbeliever if you don't believe what needs to be done. I say it carefully. I say it as I prayed. When Paul said to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's preaching as well as doing every other thing of the fruits of the Spirit. And that's especially true when we preach. We need to tremble. Not just at the word and its warnings, but we need to tremble lest we come short of doing what Paul said. I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. That's what he stated to the Ephesians in his last visit to them. And he gave them strong warning that people would creep in. He said, the rise of your own selves, bringing perverse things. That brings division. And it's terrible. That's Satan's way. Oft times, not as a roaring lion, but as an angel of light, bringing in something very close to the same. And then people say, oh, we're all one. It's all the same. We all have one God. We all do have one God as creator. Everybody. And he is the creator. As we read here, verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. But not everybody has the new creation. Only those that are born again. Only those that are converted. Except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. When I said that, when I was first converted, somebody said, that's not in the Bible. It is. It's always been there since Christ was here on earth. Except to be converted and become as little children, willing to learn, need to be helped, need to be saved, need to put off the old man with his deeds, thought, word, and deed. I think we could include words as deeds as well. They're awful deeds sometimes. And that's why he says, lie not one to another. We can do that in action, but we can do it especially with our lips. And all of what we say and do is written down. Christ said it when he was here on earth, that by your words you will be judged, either judged rightly or condemned. Matthew records those words in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By words we can be made right in confession of sin. Yes, believers, as well as those that come into the faith for the first time. And when they come the first time, Paul tells us, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with our mouth that we call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, Paul is here speaking to those that have had that. He describes it in chapter 1. You who were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind, by wicked works hath he reconciled. Chapter 2, we already read some of that about the forgiveness of sins. He also states, in whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That is the initial blessing in conversion, and here he is telling them to continue to do that. We have to crucify the flesh. It wants to come back. And here he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Earlier in this chapter, we read from verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are in the earth. Put them to death. Admit their sin. Deal with it rightly. That's revival in the church. We need that. We need it desperately. And then, not only put off the old man, it doesn't stop there. A drunkard doesn't just stop drinking and then is right with God, or any other sin. He needs to put on the new man. He needs to have the water of life. He needs to have the light of the world. He needs to have that which is created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The new man. Paul is, in a way, rehearsing it here, but he's also reminding them, and sometimes exhorting as well. Verse 5 particularly, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. That is the old man, and he's saying to them now, mortify them. And warning, for these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the church as well as the world. It was there in Corinth. Paul said, when they did not keep the Lord's Supper rightly, and he had mentioned many other sins, for this cause there are many sick among you, and some sleep. In the Old Testament, there was many times the judgment came with sin. Terrible, many deaths. And it is there in the New Testament. It was there in the beginning, shortly after all the blessing of Pentecost and the days following, that Ananias and Sapphira came with their prideful ways, their lying ways, and they dropped dead at the feet of Peter. That was there in the New Testament church. Death. We need to take these things, as I said, in a way to be thankful. We have this word, but also to be prayerful, to be trembling. God said very plainly by the pen of Isaiah, to this man will I look who is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. I think we all know that there's much wrong in the home, broken, in the church, divided, in the nation, divided terribly, and in other nations, war, strife, all these different things are there. And we need to recognize them. We need to see that this is true. and we need to rightly deal with it, teach it, act on it, and pray especially. Pray for the Spirit to come to lead into all truth. Paul speaks of those that will not endure sound doctrine. And here we have sound doctrine. Will we listen to it? Will we obey it? Will we see that this is necessary for us today, written these 1900 and some years ago? It's up to date. It's perfect. I've been reading a lot of history of the Reformation and other times in the history of the church, the nations, and what a difference the way one writes and another, describing the same people, describing the same happenings, totally different. You wonder, could either one be right? But this word is right. These are the words that God gave to Paul to write to this church at Colossae, as I said, these 1900 years ago. And they are words for us today. We need them. We need them as they are here given. And let's pray that we will take them and we will use them rightly. We will do as he said, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man. If you are a child of God, as the song said, a child of the King, my father is rich and houseth in lands, he holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. If you are in that class, a child of the King, then this is a word to you, to me. And if you aren't a child of the King, then you must become one. You must come what the song also said, adopted, brought into his family, brought in by repentance of your sins, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Submit to God. Submit to his ways. They are right, absolutely right. And there is in that no place for anything else but Christ. He is all in all. Whether you are a Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, makes no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Creator. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is the one seated on the right hand of the Father. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, is the first verse of this chapter. The Son of God. The Son of God. Humbling himself to the death of the cross. Do you believe it? Do you know it to be necessary for you?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.